The thing I felt impressed the Lord to share on is out of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 to 3. And my call and my burden is for the local church. You know, others have ministries to witness and other things, and the focus of the Lord within my own heart is the raising up and the bringing together of something that is beyond our comprehension. And so it's going to take all of us. It's going to take every ounce of grace that each of us has to flow in the new wineskin that he's bringing together. And we aren't going to enter into this because of somebody we know. We're going to enter in because we have our own vital relationship with him. And it is to that end that we pour out ourselves, that he might have all the glory, and that we might find the spirit of grace and humility to flow in that precious river that ever flows from him. So in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, we read about the sevenfold Spirit of God. It's presented to us in Revelation in the King James English translation as the seven lamps of God that burn before his throne. And we see it also revealed in the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches. There is a lampstand, which is God's provision for every place his people meet. And the sevenfold Spirit for the local church to begin to flow and to move. In all that he's purposed, it's going to take a plurality of ministrations in the local church. The pastor model, the big leader model, will never produce the thing God's after. This is a very precious thing to God. And so I know you all know the picture of the lampstand that was in the holy place. And that revelation is the picture of the sevenfold ministry. And so in chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, we read about that sevenfold ministry. And it takes the seven ministrations of God to produce a people, to produce a people that come to the fullness of all that he has purposed in himself. And because of that, we recognize that all of the concepts that we have are insufficient. And the ministration of God is beyond teaching. And if we don't see that, we will never get any further than where we are. So Paul says in Ephesians that God is bringing us into a love that surpasses understanding. And the thing that God is bringing to us is something far beyond the capacity of our intellect. The thing that God is bringing is a union of spiritual relationship between each of us and him. And in that relationship with him, we become one with one another. And if we change that order, we're in error. the processing of the Spirit of God is to bring us to the place. And if you read carefully in John 17, he prayed that they may be one in us. So our unity isn't based on some doctrinal agreement. It's not based on the fact that we're listening to some big man of God somewhere. Our true hope of unity is because we're in Him. And that being in Him is the core of our relationship with one another. And I was a few months old in the Lord, and I had the privilege of listening to a guy named George Godkin. He was a backslidden Christian that died in a fire, and he experienced hell and experienced the lake of fire. And you didn't have any trouble believing him because his face looked like patchwork. He was burned to over 90% of his body. And he described hell. He described the lake of fire. And then he said, "I'm going to tell you the most frightening thing I saw of all." And he said, "Because of my spiritual condition as a backslidden Christian, I saw it from a great distance. But," he said, "I saw heaven." And he said heaven was more frightening than hell and the lake of fire. He said, because when he beheld heaven, he said there was such a holy unity. He said it was like liquid. Everything was in absolute pure harmony. And if you were out of sync with that harmony, you would choose hell because of the enormity of union. And years ago, when I was in prayer with the Lord, he spoke to me and he said, "Unity is the outcome of wherever I reign. Wherever God reigns, there's unity. And to whatever measure we come under his unity, we begin to touch that unity in the local church. And we begin to see the ministrations of the Spirit begin to flow through each member. And there is a theme that comes, not because it's rehearsed, but because each of us are living and moving and abiding in him." And that is, you can't produce that. You can only enter it through relationship. And so, anyway, what we'll start with is the sevenfold ministration of the singular Spirit of God. So if you read Isaiah 11, chapters 2 and 3, the center stem is the Spirit of God, and then you have six stems out of it. And you'll notice, by the grace of God, that he pairs them. And so the one that I felt led to minister on tonight was the Spirit of, it's in verse 3. I'm sorry, it's in verse 2. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And we have no end of knowledge today. And what does the scripture say? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And we have a knowledge today that in most of the church isn't the true knowledge of God. And if you read this carefully, it's the spirit of knowledge, not knowledge itself. And there is a comprehension and an understanding and an unfolding of God that comes by relationship, not by the intellect. The true knowledge of God is a relational thing. We come to know him. So Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That is a different learning than something where somebody is teaching you all these deep truths. We've all been exposed to the deep truths of God, but they have been on a level that is an intellectual level. So the word says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It's not what I know on an intellectual level. It's what my heart, the condition of my heart, the depth of the faith that's moving in me determines my ability to touch the wonder of God himself. So Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand. Faith is the faculty through which we explore the nature, the character, and the wonder of God. And it is a knowledge that transcends the intellect and brings us into something that produces a right spirit. For us to have a right spirit requires us to understand and know him. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So the true knowledge that is ministered here, this is part of that lampstand of the local church at the seven locations of the church in the book of Revelation. There's a lampstand at every one of them. And that is God's provision for us, but our ability to access it requires a relationship that we enter into because we are sensitive to his spirit and we are open to the truth of God that brings us into that place of walking in his yoke and learning of this meek and lowly one. The true knowledge of God will always produce the character of God. We've all been a part of deep teaching circles where there is a pride and an elitism that creeps in because it's not the knowledge of Christ, it's the knowledge about Christ. There's a vast difference between these two realms. And that ministration of Christ, what does the Spirit do? It can only produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't matter what men know. As we walk in the Spirit of God, we become sensitive to him in the lives of others. And we know that whether the knowledge they walk in is of the intellect or whether it's a knowledge of the Spirit, and you instantly have that witness that this is one that's yoked with Christ. And they might have totally different understandings of Scripture. They might have different things, but there's a witness within you that this one is his. And it's on the basis of that witness that, you know, what does it say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We don't fellowship in teachings, we fellowship in the person of Christ himself. There is a mutual ministration where we are in awe of the wonder of God because we've touched the reality of him in the one or the two or the three or the 50 that we're meeting with. And there is a witness. Paul says we have this witness in ourselves that we are of the Spirit of God, and we have that witness when we touch others. And there is a necessity for this hour. We're coming into a day of great deception. We're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see all kinds of people declaring different things, wanting your allegiance, wanting to have the preeminence, and it'll be accompanied with signs, and you got to know. You got to know in your own heart. So the Spirit of God in the sevenfold ministration of him to the local church, one of those ministrations is the Spirit of knowledge coming out of the one side of the lampstand. And what does he pair it with? He pairs it with the fear of the Lord. So I know in myself, I've run in circles where there's been all this knowledge, but there's no fear of God because we are so taken with how much we know that we don't have the fear of God. So when you read these six ministrations, the six branches coming out, you'll be blown away by the wisdom of God, how he pairs them together. So the spirit of knowledge must also produce in me the fear of the Lord, that I ever walk carefully before him. I never get to a point where I become haughty and proud, and I just think how wonderful it is, all this stuff that we all have been taught of the Lord. We are humbled by the fact that the more we see of him, the more we comprehend our need to know him. And there is a continual unfolding of the depth, the wisdom, and the wonder of God that is imparted to us through the spirit of knowledge, not knowledge itself. And within the context of the local church, we have this necessity for the varied ministrations, especially the varied ministrations of elders. And one illustration, I like pictures, not being the sharpest knife in the drawer. When you shine a light through a prism, it breaks into seven hues. And that variety of shades of colors that come through as light passes through the prism is a picture of the sevenfold ministration of God. And within that, we have this list in Isaiah 11 and 2. And if you pass that sevenfold breakdown of light, if you pass it through a prism again, it'll go back into pure light. And the purity and the fullness of all that God is, he passes it through this prism, and he makes these sevenfold ministrations available to us. And this is where the local eldership begins to take on the variety of hues. So kind of a word the Lord gave me the other day, God doesn't make replicas. Everything he does, he creates. And when he refers to the New Jerusalem, the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem are all firstborn. There are no secondborn. There are no cousins. There is only the firstborn. And so Paul says in the New Covenant that God has placed each member in the body as it pleases God. I don't get to choose my expression. The whole purpose of life is for me to so submit myself to him that I, via relationship, I simply be what he has called me to be. It matters little to me what somebody else thinks, what someone else wants me to be. That ain't their call. And as the local eldership, I mean, we see the picture of that with the eldership in Ephesus with Timothy. They watch this young man growing up, and there's a day where they go, today's the day. They bring Timothy in before the elders. They lay their hands on him, and there's prophetic words and impartations of the gifts and the calling of God that goes to Timothy. And then you read Paul's writings to him, and what's he doing? He's saying, fulfill the ministry that God has called you to. And so the wonder and the beauty of the family of God is, as we humble ourselves before him, we begin to touch his spirit, and we begin to sense the call of God in the life of another. And then, like it says in Hebrews, which I really appreciated the confirmation, I wrote on it a little while ago, but about the necessity of gathering together, provoking one another unto love and good works, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And it says there in the context, it says considering one another. So in our time with God, we hold up, God will bring brothers and sisters to us, and we hold them up before God, and we submit ourselves to the Spirit of wisdom, and we begin to inquire, and we go, Lord, how do I serve this brother or sister? How do I facilitate their development to the thing you've called them to? So considering one another and provoking unto love and good works, and so much more so as we see the day approaching. So the real purpose of our assembling together is to see God's end in each individual with the purpose that they will apprehend God in a deeper way than where we are. The true ministry that God is raising up is one of seeking the welfare and the purposes of God in another life. And one of my heroes is Ananias in the book of Acts. And he's just some unknown Christian, but just your typical Christian of the early church. And he's in a time of prayer and he's conversing with God. And God says, go lay your hands on Saul. And do we have the heart of Ananias that goes and lays hands on Saul and ministers to him, and you never hear of Ananias again? And God, I remember one years ago, I was crying out to God, and I'm going, where are your apostles? Where is this fivefold ministry? And God spoke to me as clear as a bell, and he said, because I have no Ananiases, I do not have the prophets and the apostles. And it's when we meet together in that selflessness where, like the heart of Jesus, he says, greater things will you do because I go to my Father. That's the heart of Jesus. Like, if he's living in me, my whole purpose of interacting with his people is that they'll go beyond where we are. We got to see this thing arise. And David said in the Old Testament, he says, don't take me home, Lord, until I make known your glory to the next generation. And if we want to know the power and the wonder of ministry, we begin to touch the selflessness of God. And we begin to find the joy of Ananias, where he's able to minister to Paul, and Paul turns the world upside down, and he might not ever leave his living room. And God says, when I have such a people, the earth is going to see the might and the power of all that Christ is. So we're touching on these different realms of knowledge, and I know most of you know the layout of the tabernacle, which I remember the first time I read it, I was about a year old in the Lord, and I read it, and I started weeping, and I said, Lord, you could throw me in prison for 1,000 years, and if I only had these two chapters, I would never run out of seeing you. And so in the tabernacle, we have three distinct realms, and every one of these realms is a part of the church. But there are a people who operate in the natural light. They see the scriptures through the natural mind, and there is tremendous benefit. We see the the flowing of the blood of Jesus. We see the baptism and the washing of the water of the Word, but there's a different light in the holy place. There's the light of the shining forth of the lampstand. But until we comprehend that the fivefold ministry is not an end, it's God's means to his end. The fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is a temporary provision of God. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, to bring them into their ministry until we come into the unity of the faith. In the coming forth of the unity of faith, the prophecy in the Old Testament says, there's a prophecy concerning the in the Old Testament concerning the New, and it says, in that day they shall no more teach each other to know the Lord, for they will all know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. And that is the purpose of ministry. We don't minister ourselves into places of necessity. We minister in such a way that the people of God go beyond where we are. There is a new wineskin coming, and God is looking and calling forth an eldership that serves him. They don't serve an organization. They don't serve a ministry. They serve God. And whatever is necessary to bring each member into the body of Christ will never be on a doctrinal level. Anybody that's got kids know whatever works for one doesn't work for the other. My youngest son, I threw my parenting book out, and I learned more from him than I did him from me. And we are a people that walk in the spirit of knowledge. We are ever growing because of our relationship with him. We are never get to the point where, oh, I know how to do this. So, I mean, David attacks the enemies of Israel one way, and he has great victory, and he doesn't go and do that again. He gets before God, and he says, shall I go up against them again? God says, yes, but this time when you hear the sound of the wind blowing through the mulberry trees, then attack. And there is this recognition that we're walking in the spirit of knowledge, not in knowledge itself. We are, you know, what does it say? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the ones that are becoming the sons of God. We're not sons of God because we've listened to some great teacher. We become sons because we are sensitive to the leading and the moving of the Spirit of God. And that is the secret of our unity. That is the secret of the Lord bringing you and I into this new wineskin. It is a privilege to touch the new wineskin of God. It's going to take a great humility for us to flow into that precious river. And we, not many are going to touch this thing because it's a thing that is, relationship is the necessity of it. And God said, Jesus said, no man pours new wine in an old wineskin. And so the current wineskin, the current place we are, is not sufficient for him to pour the new wine into. You know, I had one guy from down that way that said, we're in divine order. And I'm thinking, if you were in divine order, the presence of God would be so powerful in our midst that no man could stand to minister. So the current ministration of his Spirit is a witness to us that we aren't where we need to be. It's not a condemning thing. It's a thing that makes us hunger and thirst, that we might become low enough, we might become sensitive enough to begin to touch. I was in a meeting years and years ago where a couple of us picked up guitars and we started worshiping the Lord, and the Spirit of God fell, and people would come to the door, and as soon as they stepped inside the door, they fell on their face and started repenting and weeping. And you go, that was the norm for the early church. And we need to recognize in this day that we're in that Peter says, we who are kept by the power of God unto a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. So what the salvation and the wonder of God that was revealed in the early church, Peter says, this isn't it. There is a salvation that is yet to be revealed that God has purposed for the last day. He saves the best wine for last. And it is to such a people who don't exalt themselves in knowledge, but have come to a place where their boasting is in Christ Himself. Their whole hope of being able to minister into the life of another is because of the Spirit of God in them, not because of what they know, but because they're so sensitive to the Spirit of God that they flow when He flows, and when He doesn't flow, they don't flow. So as we enter into this deeper place of ministry, you know, there's some people that can go anywhere and minister, and it doesn't matter who they meet with, they can function regardless of who they meet with. That's not true as we grow into the Spirit of God. As we grow into the Spirit of God, what does it say about Jesus? He could not do many mighty works in their midst because of the hardness of their heart. As you and I become sensitive to the Spirit of God, we are going to be affected by the corporate faith of the people we're meeting with, because we're not ministering out of our own ability. So the writer of Hebrews says, I would like to tell you about Melchizedek, but because you're slow of heart, when you should be teachers, you have need for someone to teach you again. I am withheld from sharing with you the truths of Melchizedek. And as you begin to grow and develop, and as I begin to grow and develop, we are going to be restricted by the law of faith that's moving in the people that we're ministering to. That's called the law of life. And so we are, I mean, you read the different epistles of Paul. Well, the epistle to the Ephesians, he's just wide open because of their condition. I mean, he has to stop 3-4 times in his ministry, in the epistle. He has to stop and pray because of the magnificence of the ministration of the Spirit of God. He's got to stop and just intercede in the Spirit to make known to them the fullness of all. What he writes to the church at Corinth, what he writes to the church at Galatians, is nowhere near the depth of what he is able to minister to the church that's in Ephesus. So as we become sensitive to the Spirit of God, we're going to find that divine harness of Him, that we don't minister to show people how much we know. We comprehend their spiritual development. We understand where they are, and we minister according to His Spirit and not according to all the wonderful things we think we know. And there is a wonder that flows in that that will bring us into new places in God as we walk in sensitivity to Him. So this is just a very small portion of the sevenfold ministry of the local fellowship. And that sevenfold ministry, as you read the sevenfold shining forth of God, John, when he's caught up into the second heaven, he sees the church and he ministers to the church about, and he sees the seven lampstands signifying the seven places where God's people meet. And then he's caught up into the third heaven and he's at the throne room and he sees these seven lamps burning, because that is the ministration of the Spirit of God in the very throne of God. And if we want to be a part of that eldership that is at home, we got to comprehend where these 24 elders are. They're before the throne of God. And everything that's in heaven is transparent. And we need to comprehend the holiness of God. And we need to comprehend the depth of the internal transparency of our heart before Him. Paul says we've denounced the hidden things. And if we want to abide in that place that's beyond comprehension, we have this time on earth to become transparent in our motives and in every area of our life. And of course we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to burn and purge and wash away all that we are by nature, to become all that He is by partaking of His nature. The judgments of the last day are not going to be based on what we believe. The judgment is based on what we become. So Jesus said He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. Goats demand their own way. There's lots of goats in God's house. But the sheep, they're able to submit to His Spirit. And that's a process, and I'm still working on it. But we have an amazing God that has given us the Spirit of knowledge. And its availability to us will be determined by our condition, not by God's desire. So one last thing. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, do I want to see God? And the question is, if I want to see God, then I allow Him to purify my motives. There was a day when years ago I was meeting, we had deep teaching, and I just wanted knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And then one day I began to comprehend that it's not what I know, it's what I become that determines His ministry to me. So the one last thing, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then it says, desire holiness, without which no man shall see God. So the pursuit of our life has very little to do with anything out there. It's all internal. And it's a phrase that came to me one time, the heart is the lens through which we see God. And in the lens of our heart becoming pure, we not only see Him, but we begin to see into the lives of those that we encounter. And we begin to touch a discernment that's based on relationship with Him, not on some suspicious thing we have going on in our own heart. For without discernment, we don't know the truth and the spirit of knowledge that we are to impart into another life without knowing what they've been through and the call of God on them. So I remember one time I had an experience. I was ministering at a local church here in town, and as I'm walking up to the front, all of a sudden I had a vision of a Mayflower ship, and the sails were rent, and the Spirit of God was blowing, but the sails were so shredded through very difficult things that it been through, the Spirit of God couldn't move this individual by the Spirit of God because of the wounds that he had been through. And that's the spirit of knowledge that comes as we walk with God, and then we can go over in the compassion of the Spirit of God and begin to minister on that level. But that is a ministry that transcends anything that any one of us has in ourselves. And that knowledge that comes through relationship will allow you to reach into the life of another that is the work of God himself.